Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this weekend show, we're going to be focusing again on commodities, a lot on precious metals, as, boy oh boy, we are seeing some very nice moves and acceleration to the upside, some key breakouts, and also seeing a number of the underlying equities, many of which were struggling over the last 4 years, start to show some life, with the big question being, just how much longer can these rallies go and how much more upside could the equities have? We're kicking off this weekend show with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at Money Show. Now, Mike, you're very much a generalist, commentator, and investor. But as I said, I want to stick to the commodity sector here because those are the most exciting moves that we're seeing as we ended Q1 and moved into Q2, starting with precious metals. As we're recording this later in the day on Wednesday, gold is over $2,300. Silver is over $27. Can you break down exactly what we're seeing move-wise in terms of precious metals and how much longer you think this run could last for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, we've been talking for months on end, it seems, that all the conditions are kind of in place for things like precious metals to really get going to the upside. I mean, we've talked in past episodes about the dollar going from sort of soaring to slumping to stabilizing, and that takes that governor off of a lot of commodities, precious metals included. We've talked about how, you know, there's been a lot of foreign buying, particularly out of Asia, in the gold precious metals market. We've seen, you know, the fact that these types of assets in sectors, when it comes to miners, for example, have been kind of left for dead and are very small, you know, relative to these other extremely popular sectors that everybody owns, tech and so on. And we've talked about how people are kind of be looking for new leaders in a market where we go from worrying about recession to saying, hey, you know, this economy is, you know, not just in the U.S., but in overseas markets, may start to reaccelerate a little bit. So what you've seen is all of those factors that were kind of percolating in the background really start to come to the forefront of investors' minds. And that's what I think you're seeing here. I mean, you know, we already saw it with gold breaking out several weeks ago. We're starting to see silver follow through. As you mentioned, copper is starting to move here. Oil, you know, in the U.S. has topped $85 a barrel, and global markets, when it comes to Brent crude, it's sort of you know, hitting away at that $90 level. So it's a lot of ingredients that, again, or I should say, it's a lot of things where the ingredients were there. It just kind of took a catalyst for everybody to have that aha moment and say, geez, I don't want to, you know, tech was the big thing. Mag 7 was the big thing. I've made a ton of money in the old big thing, and now where can I find the next big thing? I think that's kind of like the thinking that's going on Wall Street. And the rotation you're seeing into you know, big money looking for the next big winners. You know, if you listen to what you heard on this show, and kudos to you guys for that. You know, some of what your guests have been saying, what we've been trying to lay out a case for, patience is being rewarded. You know, Godot finally arrived in this version of the book, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, Mike, it is nice that we've been waiting on Godot and he finally showed up to the party here. As you pointed out, with not just gold and silver breaking out, but copper breaking higher and oil breaking higher, look at the copper stocks, the producers, look at the oil producers breaking out. You mentioned off mic that this is all kind of turning into a reflationary trade, maybe on optimism that the economy is not falling apart as so many thought was going to happen. Could you break down a little bit more about the reflationary trade and some of the macro forces you think are at work here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you've had this environment, again, where everybody's kind of, what's the Fed going to do? Will they? Won't they? When are the cuts coming? And so on and so forth. But what you've started to quietly see is some of the foreign economic data, ironically enough, out of China, which seems to have been left for dead for ages, has been picking up a little bit. You've seen in the U.S. clearly the mentality be that, hey, the U.S. is going to dodge a recession. It's having a soft landing, or even many people are kind of coming around to that. Do you even call it a soft landing? Maybe it's no landing at all. Things like the jobs data we've gotten has kind of underscored that. So, you know, if the Fed can get money to a reasonable level, get risk-free rates up to a reasonable level that, you know, is normal by historical standards, but not extremely tight, and then you've got kind of, you know, some of these growth drivers in the U.S. economy kicking in, as well as just foreign economies like in China not getting worse and maybe improving a little bit. That's all you need. And what's really interesting, I mean, we're only a few days into the second quarter, so you don't want to make too much of it. But in addition to gold and silver, or excuse me, in addition to gold continuing to run, silver starting to follow, copper turning up, oil performing very well. You've got the yield curve that's been steepening a little bit. And when you look at equities, you look at the sectors that are performing, tech has sort of, it's not crashing or falling apart or anything, but it's basically stopped going up and it's been consolidating. Meanwhile, you've seen things like financials, like energy, like industrials, like materials all pick up, especially in the last 30 days. I mean, you look at the performance, just to throw a few numbers at you, the XLK is the tech ETF. It's down about a percentage point in the last 30 days, but the materials ETF, XLB, is up 6%. Financials are up 4%. Energy's up more than 12%. Industrials 3.5%. What does that tell you? Those are all the kinds of sectors that do well in the early stages of an economic acceleration or reacceleration and growth phase. So I think it all sort of throw it all into a pot, and it's telling you the market's more optimistic about growth, economic growth, I should say, cyclicals and things like that. So money is rotating out of this, the formerly market darling tech Mag 7 type names and looking for the next phase's winners. It's broadening out. And frankly, from a big picture standpoint, that's bullish. You can't just have seven stocks, leading the market forever. You need to see, the broader economy start to benefit, other sectors start to benefit. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. So, all systems go as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's something you've been pointing out for the last over a year now was more sectors starting to partake, or just a general more bullish outlook for the markets after 2022 that was a tough year. But balance this out for the gold argument here, where inflation, yes, gold is usually an inflation hedge, although that has been mixed in history. But gold versus economic growth, I thought if the economy was growing at a fast pace, that people would leave gold behind simply because they would have other opportunities. Or is it, as you said, this rotation trade because, well, some of these gold stocks have really lagged a lot of other sectors?
It's partial rotation. It's, money going into things that haven't yet moved from things that have moved a lot. Part of it is that the dollar, despite the fact the U.S. economy, looks decent, if you have foreign growth too, you're not going to see money pouring into the dollar because there's no good options elsewhere. You're going to see some of it stay in foreign domiciles. So that's why the dollar, after that big run up in 2022 and then the retracing, I don't know what it was, 30, 40% of that move or so in 23, it's basically been sideways since. That's okay. That means that you don't have that governor in the face of gold. And if you've got other things like a Fed that is not going to be hiking rates, maybe they're not going to cut all the way back, 5, 6, 7, 25 basis point cuts. But maybe if they just say, hey, we've reached a pretty comfortable level, maybe we'll throw one or two cuts your way and then sit on it. Whatever the scenario is, it's not never ending tightening, never ending hiking, and that driving a never ending dollar rally. So it's really just the removal of that governor. I mean, when you've got all those factors have been sitting there, and you just, it's like you take that away, you take the, whatever metaphor you kind of want to use, that's what you're seeing now. So, if the economy were really going gangbusters to the upside, to the fact that the Fed had say, oh no, now I've got to start hiking again aggressively, that's not going to be good for gold, but we don't have that.
Well, Mike, I'm just curious because you are more of a generalist investor. You look at a lot of different sectors, and at the Money Show events, which you're getting ready for another one just here in a week or so, there's mostly generalist investors that attend. With AI breaking out, all we saw was endless news releases about it and magazine articles about it. When cryptos break out, we hear about it all the time. Are you starting to hear through the grapevine with generalists that some of them are looking at the commodity sector again, not just gold, not just silver, but also copper, also oil? Are people getting more interested in the raw material space from your vantage point?
I would say starting to get interested, but nowhere near where it's concerning. I mean, the most powerful moves in any bull market, whether you're talking about gold, stocks, you name it, is when you start to have the, not just the early adopters that are kind of putting money in a segment, but you're starting to get more mainstream recognition. And then obviously once everybody's on board, that's when you kind of, the early people want to get back out, and that's when you have to worry about too much enthusiasm. I'd say we're turning that corner a little bit. We're getting some more interest in it. We're trying, we have a couple more speakers that have been right about it, that, you know, we're certainly looking at getting involved with events and talking about it. But it, I mean, you look at ETF flows into things like the, you know, metals ETFs. They've been lackluster, even as money's been flying into the crypto ETFs and things like that. When you look at sort of mainstream coverage, it's starting to talk about it. I mean, I have seen gold start to show up in the Wall Street Journal and so on. But is it a case where everybody's like, holy cow, I want to get all my money into this? No, you're not. So I think that's another, even from a sentiment standpoint, that's another reason why I'm so excited about where we are in this phase, because you're starting to convert people. You're starting to hear more people get interested. You're starting to see people say, hey, okay, I've been holding this for a long time. It hasn't done much. It's starting to make me some money. But it's nowhere near that sort of manic phase, like what you saw a couple years ago when all those SPAC and other, you know, garbage tech stocks, what you've seen when you've had, you know, crypto boom a few years back, and that, you know, sort of brought in all these fraudsters. So I think this is, again, even from a sentiment standpoint, this is a great point in that cycle, that phase where you can really start to see, you know, coming out of that long consolidation, some pretty healthy acceleration, you know, driven by money flow and all the other things we've talked about.
Since you brought up cryptos there, then, Mike, how do you balance out this renewed bullishness in commodities broadly, the trade into commodities and crypto that has also been bullish?
You know, I kind of try and look at, I think some of the same underlying factors have been driving crypto and will be driving crypto and gold. And when I say crypto, I mean, I think speaking about Bitcoin and some of the larger types of cryptos in there, and that are more asset class oriented as opposed to the super speculative junk. I think a lot of some of the same trends are driving it, but I always look at it as the tortoise and the hare, right? I think that they both win the sort of performance race. It's just that, you know, Bitcoin and crypto is kind of like the hare, and gold is more like the tortoise. It's a slower moving market, but it's tending to benefit from the same underlying trends. So it just sort of depends on your risk tolerance and how much excitement and drawdowns and things like that you can handle. I mean, you'll probably make a lot more money in a bull market in something like Bitcoin or some of the riskier cryptos, but you're also going to have much more roller coaster type activity than you're going to have in something like gold. And I think both are kind of now in bull market territory and likely to remain that way for some time.
Well, Mike, it sure is nice to have a discussion in bull market territory for the commodities, for the precious metals, for cryptos, really for almost all markets. Is there anything that could throw a wet blanket on this? Just looking at the other side of the coin, looking at the bearish thesis, anything that you see on the macro front that could interrupt this pattern?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, if I'm ultimately wrong, and some of the people that I trust a lot, whose work I follow, are ultimately wrong about the Fed, and the Fed really has to, you know, get back into hiking mode, this turns out to be, oh, geez, not, we didn't hike enough. Now we're going to have to play catch up to a new broad inflationary phase, or, you know, we're going to have something like that that leads to a renewed surge in the dollar. That kind of, you know, that is really, I think, the biggest spanner out there that can be thrown in the works. But, you know, I've been following the Fed for a quarter century. A lot of the smart people that I follow, you know, who do speak at money show events, whose work I digest and the newsletters and things like that, you know, really kind of have really been right about this market. It's not just that they have great track records long term, it's that they've really had their finger on the pulse of this environment for the last couple of years, you know, are sort of on the same page. So I like to be in good company. And I think that in that environment, that's really the only risk, but it's, in my opinion, not a likely risk. I think this is firmly, I mean, and even let's back up and from a technical standpoint, you're talking about a market, whether you're talking about gold or silver, that's consolidated for what, a couple of years now in a broad trading range in the face of a lot of bad news, like a surging dollar and so on. And yet it held there. And you have a market where the mining stocks are just now starting to convert, to sort of confirm that, as opposed to running and running forever and then starting to top out. I mean, from a technical standpoint, all that sort of speaks to this being an early phase of a pretty powerful bull move. So I don't want to sound Pollyanna-ish, but I think there's sometimes when you really have to say, hey, look, there's, you know, technicals, fundamentals, currencies, cross market, sentiment, all of these factors have come together. And to me, that's a pretty powerful bull market signal.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes you just, well, a lot of the time, I think you do just need to ignore all the noise and look at the charts and see what they're telling you. And right now, boy, oh boy, it's all starting to move higher. You did mention some of the international considerations that you had, even with China starting to pick up a little bit. And as much as we look at just what the Fed is doing, what's important for investors to look at globally here when it comes to either central banks, economic data, or any other sort of market moves?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we have to be cognizant of geopolitics. I mean, you know, and I hate to use such a sort of blasé term to talk about some real scary things and unfortunate things that are happening in the world, whether it's in, still in Russia and Ukraine, or whether it's sort of saber rattling between China and Taiwan and other parts of Southeast Asia or the Middle East, of course. Those are all issues that you do have to keep your eye on. You do have to understand that curveballs can be thrown at you, from, almost any time from those types of things that are unforeseeable, or at least, how do you prepare for it? You kind of keep some safety there. And ironically enough, is that not also tending to be a supportive, if not, outright bullish for things like precious metals? I mean, they tend to do well in periods of instability, and obviously some instability is what we're dealing with. So, even there, again, even from the geopolitical sort of background worry thing, that tends to be supportive for precious metals as a hedge. So, that's more what's happening with that is more of a concern for things like broader stock market exposure and whether or not the stock market can hold its gains, in my opinion. And I think, one thing about the markets, broadly speaking, as this rotation happens, I wouldn't be surprised if the overall market tends to stagnate a little bit and just catch its breath. I mean, the S&P had its best first quarter since 2019. You've had a good run. And I think just some of the early jitters we're seeing in the second quarter, early on, is just part of that sort of rotation, period and consolidation. So, I wouldn't be surprised if the broad averages take a breather here. But within them, I mean, again, if you're in the right stocks, you're in the right sectors, you're in kind of the next big thing, or things for that matter, I think you're going to be pretty happy as an investor. And that's, that's what we're seeing.
All right, Mike, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for your insights, man. Oh man, it's been a week full of a bullish outlook for commodities. And that's from some of our generalist guests as well. Rightfully so. Look at the price moves and look at the follow through that we are seeing finally in some of the underlying stocks, even the smaller ones. Mike, thank you very much for taking time on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back continuing to discuss some of these moves in the commodities sector.
Al Corlin's firm, AB Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.